Hello. So my name is Greg, and I'm excited to be here. It has been a lot of fun to be like back together, like in person. There's singing in here. It's loud. I've really enjoyed that. I've also, if you're online streaming, it's important that you're here too. I'm excited about this. I think God has something awesome for us today, and I'm just curious what He's going to do. Pause. So I was at the grocery store the other day, and what's the deal with all the pumpkin spice? Like, they put it in everything. Like, have you noticed this? Like, it's in everything. And here's my thought. It has pie, like pumpkin pie. It has its thing, and that communicates fall to me. Like, there's pumpkin carving. There's Halloween has pumpkins. Thanksgiving even allows pumpkins, and all those take place in the fall. And I don't. If you like pumpkin spice, I have no problem with that. My problem with it is this: it starts coming out in August, like at the beginning of August, and I just say, don't take away my summer. Pumpkin, you shine, you show off in October. That's not the topic for today, but I do feel better having said that. Again, no shame if you like pumpkin spice. It's just, let's keep it in the fall. Okay, here we go. We're in the second part of a four-part series, and it's called Living Sent Together. If you didn't catch last week's talk, I would encourage you to check it out. I think you can find it on the website or on the app, but Jay Bennett spoke, and he had this amazing illustration with Legos, and when he got to the part of his talk where he was like, it's time to build, I was ready to build. And so as you sit here today in part two, and you're like, I wonder if he has an awesome illustration like that, prepare to be disappointed, because I don't. However, we're going to look at one of my favorite stories in the Bible. It's a good one. It's fun. And again, I'm excited to see what God has for us. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask God to do a miracle. I'm going to ask Him to speak to us, and then we'll consider His word. God, I thank You that we have Your word. I thank You that we can read it. I thank You that Your Spirit can help me understand it. And I do ask You to do a miracle and speak to us. Like what are You calling us to next? What do You want us to learn more about? What do You want us to connect individually with who You are? I ask that You do that today. Amen. So in our time that we're going to be here the next few minutes, we're going to consider serving. And we want this community, like this church community, to be a place where we see and then we serve our neighbors across the entire church. Like the city ministry and the campus ministry, whether you're a child, a student, or someone, I call myself experienced, but middle-aged if you do the math. But across all of those places in this church, we want to be serving together. And as we seek to become more like Jesus in this area, we're gonna serve around Scarlet Middle School in Ann Arbor. We just talked about that. That's going to happen next Sunday. And we're going to get a chance to make beautiful and maintain trails behind the school that not just serve that school, but the entire neighborhoods around it. We're going to have a chance later in the month of November, once the leaves decide it's time to come down, we're going to have a chance to rake leaves for the elderly in our community. And we are also going to continue to have just more opportunities to come alongside and team up with Christian Love Fellowship to serve alongside with them and us and amongst ourselves as they seek to support their family with their community with food and the families in their community around their church in Ypsilanti. It's going to be great. Like, it's going to be fun. Like, this is fun. And I'm excited to work with you all. I would encourage you to come. It's going to be, yeah, like I said, it's going to be great. And I can honestly say that I have fun serving other people with other people. I've met and I've done some good things with good people, and I've done some real crappy work with them too. The first event, Like the very first event in this auditorium, it was a worship event on a Saturday evening. And we were excited. We were celebrating all that God had done over several years to get us to a point where we were able to worship in this auditorium. And me and my friend Ben, we got a chance to do some real crappy work at that event. You know, as people began to use the bathroom, the sewer system began to back up. And a fair amount that was going into the toilet, I'm going to be delicate, don't worry. A fair amount was going into the toilets was not making it out to the city's main sewer system. It decided to come up into the boiler room in the basement of this building. And it was not pleasant, but someone or someones needed to address it. And Ben and I were selected to do it. I don't know if anyone else was even considered, but we were selected. And so Betsy Huebner was gracious, and she went and got us some like legit rubber gloves. They were very nice. And then Ben and I, we fashioned some chaps out of trash bags, all OSHA approved. All of this is how you clean up. All hepatitis looked at us and said, not today, they have those chaps on. And we went to work. We served. And was this fun? Not really. But we did laugh a lot. There was a lot of laughing. Was it memorable? Oh, yeah. I mean, for sure. Yeah, you don't forget that, right? Like you don't forget that. And it's serving. At times, it can be messy. But it is always better together. Like, always better together. And in the passage we're going to look at here, it contains a great story. And I love to hear a great story. I love to tell a great story. And Luke, the author of Acts, has a great story for us today. And this takes place early in the life of the church. Jesus had died, and he rose again, and he returned to heaven. As soon after that, the Holy Spirit was sent in dramatic fashion. And as we get towards the end of chapter 2, the church is forming, and we see like radical serving of each other taking place as you get to the end of chapter 2. As we head into chapter 3, these are what the first 10 verses say. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. And now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money, and Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. And then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have. But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly, the man's feet and ankles became strong, and he jumped to his feet, and he began to walk. And then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Like, do you catch that? Like, this is crazy what has happened. And I'll walk back through here. So there's this man, he has some physical disabilities, and he has like legit good friends because they would take him every day to kind of post up by the Beautiful gate. And he would set up there daily, and as people went into the temple, he would ask them to help him by giving him a coin or two. And think about this. Like, this is a radical, crazy, humbling way to live your life. Like, he did this every day. And I imagine some people, they would pass by, and they might give out a place of a generosity, and some would probably give out a place of guilt, and then others, maybe pity drove them to helping him out. But I'm sure the majority of people would just hurry by, avoiding eye contact, avoiding the reality that another human was sitting there in need, and he had just as much dignity as anybody else, and they would just go into worship. You know, as people were walking into the temple, they as they passed by him, he was there waiting, right? And in Jesus' ministry, he had this habit of taking out his disciples and they would go serve all over. And they did that together. And Peter and John in this story, those were disciples who would go do that with Jesus. And now they're continuing to do that together. And as they begin to approach the entrance, the man sees them and he asks them for money. I mean, that's bold. Like, he does this over and over again and he asks them for money. He calls out to them. And Peter's and John's response is probably different than most of the other people who had passed by that day. Verse 4, it has this word. It has this word that sets apart their response from all the people who went past that day. Because it says that they saw him. Like, they saw him. They looked at him, and they were aware that he was there. Like he wasn't, it was like a person was sitting there, and they were aware that he was there. And they were aware of the state that he was in. I'm sure many of the people that went by that day didn't do that. And humbly, I probably could have been one of those people coming up with some sort of a reason where I'm so busy. I've got to, you know, Jesus is waiting. God's waiting for me to get to worship. I don't have time to see you. I'm going to get about this. But it says they looked straight at him. And as they took the need in, Peter asks him, hey, look at us. And I'm sure that as people would avoid eye contact with him, he too would avert his gaze. But he returns Peter and John's gaze, and he's expecting money to come his way because that's what he had asked for. And finally, someone's paying attention, so they're going to give him money, right? And it appears that Peter and John aren't able to meet the man's need with the request of money. But in this space, without being able to give what was asked for, they gave what they had to give. And I've always wondered how he thinks about this. I mean, he makes a request. He needs this money to live. And they say, well, we don't have that, but we got something better. And I'd be like, how do you know my need better than myself? I'd have been disappointed. But Peter, he gave him what he has to give. And I'm something that's sure this man had never even dreamed of asking for. It really isn't necessarily even a gift. It's kind of just a statement. Peter simply says, I don't have money, but I'm going to give you what I have in the name of Jesus. You know the guy from Nazareth that everybody's been talking about? In his name, walk. Friends, this is bold, right? Like, bold. There's no relationship here. He turns to them and says, walk. Peter, he reaches out to help him to his feet. The same legs and feet that had betrayed him his entire life. Remember, he's been lame his entire life. And he stands up, and as he stands up, his feet and ankles become strong for the first time, and they're able to support him. And in his eagerness, he displays his eagerness by jumping and walking around, and this gift, this miracle, it emboldens him. Because he tries out his new skills. He's making quite the scene out there, I'm imagining. And he makes his way into the temple. In my mind, he's like reflecting the fact that he knows where this gift has come from. And he goes into the temple and he's recognized as the man who sits at the gate every day. He was part of the landscape. You would know him anywhere. But he's mobile. I'll be honest, I would have found ways to doubt this. Like, he's been running a scam for years, his entire life, just to get money. Or he has a twin brother that no one knows about, and they're together on this, and they're scheming. Yeah, I have skepticism problems. Let's talk for another time. But the worshipers at the temple, they responded different than I would have. They responded with worship and amazement, which makes sense. This is a great story. I feel like so often we like run past this without thinking about what has happened. And as I've looked at this and read this several times and preparing for this time today, I have found myself taking on maybe one of the characters in the story. And I'm sure you might be able to find yourself in there too. You see, Peter and John had seen Jesus with their own eyes serve. And they saw him give what he could give out of what he had over and over. And they were just doing what he had showed them and taught them how to do. That's being a disciple. That's being a student. Serving. It allows us to join Jesus in what he is doing in and around us. Jesus, he's been serving in the muck of people's lives all along. It's why he came. Picture this. He's in heaven. Like, he's with God the Father, like, hanging out. I don't know exactly what they're doing, but it's good. And this is paradise. It's described in Scripture. Heaven is paradise. And he leaves paradise to serve us who needed our sins to be covered in order for us to be in relationship with God. God had desired all along to be in relationship with his creation. All along. That was the plan. And sin was preventing that from happening. A perfect sacrifice was needed. And in that penultimate act of service, like the peak, Jesus becomes that sacrifice for us as he died, he was buried, and then he defeated death and was rose again. And it is in this act, that act alone, how our sin is dealt with. Amazing, right? In this passage of Scripture, He put someone serving in the path of Peter and John who needed to be served. Did you catch that? They were going about what they do, and he put someone in front of them that needed serving. And he's going to do the same for you. He's going to do the same for me. We can join with each other to love people that God brings into our lives. And this is fun. Like, this is not just another task we get to do. No, this is fun. And you may even end up cleaning up things that aren't so pleasant, but it can all be done for God's glory. Serving. I like to serve. Like, I really like to serve. It's my favorite. And it's better together. And so I'm going to steal from Jay. I'll just be honest. I'm going to just steal this. I didn't ask him. He can have it back later. Legos. They are more fun and effective when you put them together. And we are as well. Like, we're better, we're more fun, we're more effective when we serve together. So, over the last few weeks, as I've been considering, what does God want me to say to you? What does he want you to hear? In my own life, there were a couple practicals that I just kept coming back to. And so I'm going to share both of those with you. Share and give what God has given you to share and give. You know, sometimes when I'm asked to serve or asked to possibly give something, I feel like immediate pressure. Like I'm being watched, I'm being judged on how I'm going to handle this. Questions like, why do I have to give? Questions like, are they going to just waste my efforts? Or no one else is doing it, why do I have to do it? These are things that run through my head. And it has been a helpful practice for me to follow Peter's lead in the scripture that we look at today. Because he considered what he could give by taking account and considering the things that God had already given him. And then in that, he was free to be generous. And I often have to reconsider, like, what is mine? Like, aren't all the ways that God has taken care of me just so I can be comfortable? Didn't he, like, give me the things that he's blessed me with so that they're mine? Or am I entrusted with things? Like, has he given me things that they are to meet my needs and even my wants? And are they supposed to give me eyes to see how I could reinvest that around me? This one can be tough for me. Like, I'll just be candid, because I'm a planner. Like, I plan. I am prepared for a myriad of emergencies. I'm ready to go. And part of that is I like to store up and save some of my money and my stuffs. And there's wisdom in that. There is wisdom in that. But I can be stingy with my stuffs, pretending that I'm preparing for some emergency. These are stuffs I could use to bless other people with. But to give from these extras is an act of faith. It's an act of faith that God is going to take care of my needs, even the unknown ones. Here's a humbling example of this in my life. I have a car. I like my car. His name is Dutch. I pretend that I like to be generous with my car. And so outwardly you're thinking, wow, he'd loan that to anybody. Before you start to see me in this like admirable light, there's something you should know. I don't really like to loan him out. I've only got one. And what if it doesn't come back? And I like, clearly you can see I have a relationship with my car. He's my buddy. Here's the thing. I can fake generosity with him because you better not know how to drive a stick shift, because that's what Dutch is. Not many people know how to do that in the United States. So like, I'd be like, oh, I'd love to loan you my car. Can you drive a stick? Oh, no. Oh, I'm sorry about that. I have completely like managed my risk and generosity. Passages like the one we looked at today, they help me pause. And they help me take an inventory of how God has blessed me. And then I can have eyes that are looking for ways that I might be able to be faithful with those things and loving my neighbors. Imagine what it would look like if our whole church community viewed what we have as God's. Like it's his. He's loaning it to us. I believe, personally, I'd feel a lot more freedom about what I have. Not always looking for what is going to happen that I'm going to need that stuff stored up for. I believe we'd experience a lot of joy being together. Like people would want to be with us. I believe we'd see God do things that only he can do. Like a lame man who's never been able to walk. The fact is, we all have something to give. And it's, you know, there's varying amounts that each of us have, but there's something that we have that we can give or serve with. All right, a second practical in this area is the power of offering and serving in the name of Jesus. When Peter gave what he could give, he did so in Jesus' name, and something way better than a few coins was offered. I wonder how many things that I could see God do in and around my life that are stunted by how I view and steward what I have. Imagine what it would look like for this church community to not just see what we have as God's, but to offer those back in partnership with his plan and will. I mean, we'd see amazing things. Because there's power in Jesus' name. And I honestly believe he wants to do way more than we normally ask him to do. As a group of Jesus followers who are seeking to be more like him, who come together viewing what we have as God's in the first place, and in the name of Jesus, we release those resources to serve and love our neighbors, we will see good things. In fact, we will see great things. I want to invite you to join me. Like, join me. I already know how to make the chaps. They are designed and ready to go. And we can start next Sunday. We can start next Sunday on a path in the woods. I can't wait to see what God's going to do. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to close in prayer. God, I pray that you will take our eyes that are often looking at ourselves and turn them to you. May we be people who worship you. Give us hearts that want to be generous. And God, we do ask you to do things that only you can do. In your name, amen. Mm-hmm.